first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Folks, it never ever stops around here. It's incredible. Welcome to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, where you can go for all of the latest. We put out another story today outlining why Greg Fisher was, or asking why Greg Fisher was throwing GE out the window and letting the whole world know that Larry Clark, yes, Larry Clark actually tried to save it. We'll get into all that here in a few minutes. Welcome to the show. Call-in numbers, as always, are 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys that are in the listening queue, and gals, of course, hit the number one on your dial pad as usual, and we will get you on air as soon as possible. For everyone else, the chat room is open. Yes, the chat room is alive. You can sign in using your Facebook or Twitter accounts, or right here through BTR. man, I tell you, it's just been one of those days. You know, I started out this morning, and we're going to get into all kinds of stuff tonight, but I started out this morning looking at this story that really, to me, is not a big deal. Typically, it's not a sexy story, not something that, you know, I feel like you, the listeners, really care about or really want to discuss. So I'm going to mention it real quick, but I'm going to tell you why it became a story to me and why I wanted to bring it to your attention. As we know, January the 1st, the Louisville and Jefferson County Metro Government Waste Management District is going to enforce a ban on practically all, at least most, plastic bags that are used for yard waste. So you guys who are putting your yard waste in bags, you know, they've already made us separate all that from the trash. Now they're going to make you get rid of the plastic bags and force you into using paper bags. wouldn't seem like it's that big of a deal, except as I read the story further, it just reinforced what we have been talking about and saying on air for a long time, you know, about these boards and all these other things that the Democratic Mafia mayors in Louisville enjoy. Because the decision to get rid of the plastic bags was not made by the Metro Council. In fact, it was never brought to the Metro Council. The Metro Council never brought it up for a vote whatsoever. And yet it is being enforced because of the Jefferson County, the Louisville and Jefferson County Metro Government Waste Management District's board. They actually unanimously voted in May as the board to begin enforcing this new ban on we, the Louisville residents. They have no regulatory authority, or do they? Because quite frankly, if it didn't go to the Metro Council, how can it be regulated, right? Well, even the Metro Council is angry because the district board did this on their own, went behind the Metro Council's back, didn't include the Metro Council in the process, and they worked with Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher, who gave them his complete backing to anger not only the Metro Council, but the residents of Louisville as well. According to James Peden of the 23rd District, the board came to them, the Metro Council didn't act on it, so the board acted on their own. And he goes on to say in this story that there are still some big issues out there. The big one being that these unelected boards, think about that, these unelected boards are able to create legislation. Let that sink in. So we elect a Metro Council to make regulations or laws and all the other things for us. But that's okay, because a mayor-appointed board gets to essentially create legislation on their own that is then forced on we, the taxpayer, we, the voter. We don't vote for these people to make decisions for us. How are they allowed to do so? And that's why that became a story. So you guys really need to start paying attention and give the call, give those folks a call at the Louisville Jefferson County Metro Government Waste Management District. More importantly, call Greg Fisher's office and ask him, or even call your Metro Councilman and ask them why these boards are allowed to have a power to regulate over us when we have not elected them and given them that authority. It's very, very strange. But it leads into all kinds of other things, one of which is a story that we released today concerning Greg Fisher, GE, and a whole host of other things that all tie together. Insider Louisville did a story that came out first thing this morning that fell right in line with what we have been doing for many months now right here at MVM Radio and at LouisvillePolitics.com concerning workforce training, GE, and all these other things. I'm going to go ahead and put a link to their story that came out this morning into the chat room as we speak for those of you who are in there so you can have it. Additionally, I want to make sure that we kind of go over some of this because, in my opinion, and according to the story that I wrote and put out today, Mayor Greg Fisher may be the single reason that GE is going to now lose 6,000 jobs. And on accident, I believe Larry Clark inadvertently told us why. Speaker Pro Tem Larry Clark told us why. As you know, we have been reporting about Electrolux buying up GE and that they will move those jobs. We've been told that by high up the food chain sources inside of GE itself. We believe these sources. We have told you guys what the game is. But we've been trying to figure out why in the world that happened. Why did GE only get $40 million to stay? And Larry Clark gave us the answer. Representative Larry Clark, Speaker Pro Tem Larry Clark, one guy that I always chastise because I think he's dumb as rocks and I think he's corrupt as hell. But I have to give the man credit in this story, and I tell you why. The first question out of the Louisville, out of Insider Louisville, rather, had asked Greg Fisher essentially about advanced manufacturing and other things. Well, as you know, we have already reported that Greg Fisher scammed us, cost us $25 million in a fully federally funded workplace training program in the West End, turned it all down, and that he had worked with Jim Gray in Lexington, that Jim Gray in Lexington is using that program now. It wasn't his blueprint. We talked about this on Monday night. But Greg Fisher puts it in his own words in his question and answer session with Insider Louisville. He specifically states in answer to their first question that we partnered with Lexington in the BEAM initiative. You're seeing more automation taking place, blah, blah, blah. You're seeing the Georgetown plant of Toyota expanding. And then he goes on to talk about the GE Electrolux deal is interesting in terms of how that could call out or how that could turn out. Well, this verifies everything we told you folks about the BEAM initiative. We told you guys that Lexington Mayor Greg Fisher and Louisville Mayor, I'm sorry, Lexington Mayor Jim Gray and Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher were working on this program that Jay Morgan put together. Jay Morgan, of course, is the former Ford employee who has got a lawsuit against Greg Fisher as we speak. And we're going to get to why that thing is continuing to be delayed in just a moment. And you're going to be very interested with that. But when you read the story that we put out today, that statement by Greg Fisher verifies exactly what we've been telling you, that they planned on using the BEAM initiative, that Greg Fisher didn't want it in Louisville because he didn't want it in the West End. He wanted to give it to his sister down the road, and that's exactly what's going to happen. We have already laid that out for you so many different ways. It's unreal. But Insider Louisville's article actually verified that part of it for us. But then I have to keep going on, folks, because I tell you, what really disturbs me is this. Greg Fisher has taken over GLI. The Louisville mayor owns GLI, the so-called Chamber of Commerce. There is no Chamber of Commerce that GLI is inadvertently or advertently involved in. You're not a true Chamber of Commerce when city officials are running the show. I'm sorry. But we've had that discussion. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it right this second. But it's really fascinating because Greg Fisher and GLI have decided to make this a region-centric business community, which translates to Southern Indiana is going to benefit greatly and Louisville is going to lose more jobs. We don't have to worry about trying to prove that because it's proven every day. When Bullock County is growing at our expense, when Southern Indiana is growing and Louisville is remaining stagnant, and the only thing we're able to get our hands on are low-wage service economy jobs when they come around, we've got a problem. So region-centric hasn't worked. And one of the things that we've been challenging for a year now is why do we not have a Louisville-centric mindset to start getting Louisville up to speed, bringing Louisville into the 21st century, making Louisville succeed? Why do we continue making everybody around us succeed at our expense? Well, this whole BEAM initiative that Greg Fisher throwing away federal funding, millions of dollars in federal funding, not state funding, not out of your pocket money because the federal funds have already been allocated and paid for through Congress, so it's not even new tax money. This is existing tax money that's been set aside for this purpose. Well, you know, it gets interesting because, quite frankly, the reason I'm giving Larry Clark credit is because Larry Clark in March of this year was actually able to get a $325 million incentive package passed for GE. You heard me right. Larry Clark was able to get a $325 million incentive package passed for GE so that we could keep those 6,000 jobs. Now, as much as we gripe about these incentive packages and everything else, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I don't like incentive packages. I don't like giving away hundreds of millions of dollars to private business. But we gave Ford over $300 million to keep 2,000 jobs. There were no new jobs created at Ford. I don't care what John Yarmuth is out there whining and trying to lie to everybody about in his debates with Dr. McFarland. They're a lie. It's a lie. He did not produce one job. He spent $300 million. The state gave $300 million to Ford. So they made a similar offer to GE, which was at least fair. But what happened? In August, Greg Fisher, the illustrious Louisville mayor, Louisville Democratic mayor, Greg Fisher, pulled the plug on the $325 million incentive package to GE. Larry Clark actually did a rare thing and put that in the comments section on the Insider Louisville article at InsiderLouisville.com, and you guys have a link in the chat room. And if those comments have disappeared, that's okay. I've got a copy of the page. Nothing disappears from the internet. We've got it. So Greg Fisher even chastised Larry Clark. Insider Louisville asked him, you know, what he thought about any criticism that Larry Clark had given, because this was dead. This deal was dead. The incentive package was dead. Greg Fisher goes on to say that Larry Clark is uninformed. Brags about these meetings that Greg Fisher apparently had with some GE executives days before the process went down. And he says that Larry was just not in the loop. So he throws Larry Clark under the bus. Now, I know what you guys are thinking. Man, why does he keep giving us all of these details? Details aren't what you're interested in. But in this case, they're very necessary, and I'll tell you why. Greg Fisher could care less about GE. Greg Fisher could care less about Larry Clark. But Greg Fisher does care about what's getting ready to happen in the J. Morgan lawsuit against him. Because the whole game will be exposed. The reason that this lawsuit continues to be delayed, you're going through the third request to dismiss the thing based on the same set of facts that we have outlined over and over and over, very much comes down to more than J. Morgan versus Greg Fisher. The lawsuit pertains to libel and slander by Greg Fisher that cost J. Morgan a 24-year Ford career based on Greg Fisher's lies, alleged lies. The problem that Greg Fisher has and why they have to delay this is he has to either shut any potential witnesses up or down, or he has to destroy their credibility. The fact is, the Speaker Pro Tem, Larry Clark, was a very strong supporter of the workplace training facility. He was an active partner on the team that was putting all these federal funds together before Greg Fisher ever got involved in the process or knew anything about it. Larry Clark worked with Ford, GE, and UPS to put this facility together before Fisher even had a clue. Larry Clark is the one who started the meetings with Kevin Cosby of Simmons College and the Simmons College board members that included none other than our illustrious Metro Council President Jim King. Then Larry Clark went on to some organizational meetings that not only included Ford, GE, UPS, but they included the unions, the UAW, the IUE, JCTC, Lynn Fisher's College, where she wants everything to go to, Simmons College, University of Louisville, the JCPS, and he also met with the city's economic development team. They put together the federal funds for the West Louisville facility. Once again, federal funds for the West Louisville facility. Greg Fisher is now trying to take credit for an advanced manufacturing operation that is being done in Lexington through the BEAM initiative by Mayor Jim Gray that is using the carbon copy exact blueprint that was developed by former Ford employee Jay Morgan, that Larry Clark, Speaker Pro Tem, was involved in before Greg Fisher had a clue. The plan was put together and brought to Greg Fisher on a silver platter. Clark, Jim King, Metro Councilman David James. If this thing goes to court, then it becomes public record. And Greg Fisher will be nailed. He will be nailed to the wall, folks. And he is scared shitless that he's too stupid to cover his tracks. Because all of these people that I just mentioned can be called as witnesses in this case. So he has to alienate Larry Clark, decimate Larry Clark publicly, to hurt Larry Clark's credibility if it goes to court. That's why he has spent almost a year trying to make sure that there are no depositions, no discovery, or anything else, which is unheard of. It's a small world, isn't it? We have told you guys so many times about how the game is established and how everybody is interrelated and how nothing gets done in this town without the Democratic Mafia calling the shots. And if you notice, everybody that I mentioned in this thing, other than Jay Morgan, because I don't know if he's a Democrat or Republican, it's really not my business, but every one of these folks that I mentioned here are Democrats. And when you look at this, then you have to come to another logical question. If Greg Fisher is liable in this, and I believe he is, that's my opinion, and he has to work so diligently to either shut these potential witnesses out or destroy their credibility, that he would sell out GE and pull a $325 million incentive package away from GE that will cost us 6,000 jobs within the next year. There's no question about that. Why? Why would he sell out GE? And here's the answer. You're not going to like it, but it's what I perceive to be the truth. Because GE, the property of GE, and that's all that these people care about is property and land, okay? They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They want to see what property they can exploit and everything else and how they can benefit from the money. Once GE is abandoned, and it will be, that those jobs are gone out of Louisville, the land that GE sits on will be an EPA wasteland environmental disaster. It's going to take 3 to 4 years to clean up minimum, and it's going to cost millions and millions of dollars. Those dollars, of course, will probably be federal funds matched with some state funds, but it will be money that they can exploit and use because there is not that much oversight over EPA funds. Oh, they say there is. They say that there's all kinds of oversight over federal funds. But we know from experience right here in Louisville from the Democratic Mafia that that's not true. Otherwise, Kimberly Button wouldn't have been able to steal money illegally when she was director of housing. That's why millions of dollars are brought into Louisville every year. That can't be, as most of that cannot be accounted for. We can prove it, but people have to go on record, and they won't go on record, which is why I keep the proof in my pocket. Because I don't want to destroy them. They're too scared. So when you have an opportunity to get millions of dollars for this land that you're going to be able to exploit for the cleanup, that's attractive. Then, of course, the land is going to be sold in a fire sale. Yep, you guessed it. Who's going to buy that land in a fire sale? Dirt cheap? Well, miraculously, Greg Fisher's term as mayor will be done by the time this is completed. He will get reelected in November. Bob DeVore isn't going to beat Greg Fisher, and there's nobody else running. He's got 4 more years as mayor. During the next 4 years as mayor, he's going to make sure that all this happens by design. GE will be abandoned. They'll take the millions of dollars to clean it up, and then he'll get that land dirt cheap, or it's a political payback to the political elite, real estate and land developers and the other people that they continue to take care of. Think of the Blues in this situation or people along that line. And that land typically, speculatively, although I think it's a very good speculation on my part, but that land will probably be developed for some kind of idiotic warehouses. or a best case scenario for warehouses would be for Kentucky bourbon and whiskey barrels. We're going to get rid of 6,000 jobs so somebody can make a ton of money on the real estate that's not going to create a job that's going to benefit anybody. I got to tell you guys, it's a hell of an interesting story, right? Check it out at LouisvillePolitics.com because this is very disturbing. And we are going to have a whole lot more coming on this next week. It's just so funny to me when I look at this. I get so excited sometimes when I see this, and I can see everything that's going on. You know, and if I can see it, and I'm just a dumb old Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky boy that, you know, don't know anything at all, just ask anybody. But yet every time I put these things together for everybody, they come true. And these goons still get elected. So Greg Fisher is so worried about Larry Clark, Jim King, Councilman David James, and a whole host of other people calling in to testify on this garbage that he created, the nightmare that he created for himself. Between him, Ford, and Jay Morgan in some way, has haunted him so bad that he's going to throw GE under the bus to try to make Larry Clark look bad so Larry Clark won't be too relevant. If you notice, Jim King doesn't say anything negative about the mayor lately. Actually, he agrees with the mayor quite a bit, publicly anyway. Councilman David James, who has been real critical of Jim King and Greg Fisher, has miraculously been silent. We've heard nothing on the charges against him about the dual oaths. What's the game? What's the game? We're going to find out. We've got a lot more to the game so far, but I'm going to lay it all out for you as best I can next week and make it an even bigger part of the package. Those things are very, very interesting to me. And I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, and I'll tell you why, because we get back, I'm sure there's at least one or two of you guys who are in a listening queue that probably want to weigh in on this. We're going to get into Project Veritas and the second video was released by Project Veritas concerning Alice in Wonderland Grimes and the coal industry. You really don't want to miss this. We'll get into some details on it shortly. You listen to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Is 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And when you go to LouisvillePolitics.com, make sure you join our email newsletter. It will send everything direct to your inbox on a weekly or monthly basis, your request, and also join the RSS feed, and we'll make sure radio shows get delivered to you as well. I tell you, you know, we're going into break. We spent the first part of the hour talking about this Greg Fisher massive cover-up, in my opinion, that's getting ready to happen. It's going on now, actually. And it always leads to other things. When we talk about massive cover-ups and we talk about lies, Monday night we brought you some sound clips and we talked to you a little bit about the first short video, if you will, by Project Veritas Action, James O'Keefe, who had infiltrated some of the Alice in Wonderland Grimes campaign offices and spoke with the Democratic Party operatives and everything that said that Alice in Wonderland Grimes was lying about her stance on coal. Well, here's one we didn't have time to put together in a sound clip for you going into the show. Block Talk does things differently. We can't really do sound clips live like you used to. So we actually have to harvest these things and upload them to the show prior to the show. But it wasn't just the campaign staffers who were saying these things about Alice in Wonderland Grimes. No, it was also Crit Llewellyn. Take a listen for yourself.
The coal miners may not know it, but the Grimes people say the coal industry is already dead.
And the reality is, Obama's regulatory policies have had the impact totally restricting what coal can do. And he's basically shut down all the really terrible environmental problems. So between the market forces and what he's already done, this is not like a big, you know, hook hanging over our heads, because it's already going in the right direction. And she's just going to do what she's going to do.
I know that's hard to decipher. You have to really pay close attention, and I apologize for that. You know, when you're using undercover mics and hidden mics on your body trying to catch outside conversation in a noisy situation, you run into that, and James O'Keefe is well aware of that. But if you heard that, then what you heard was the same exact thing that I'm going to tell you, where, you know, word for word almost. Crit Llewellyn states that Obama's coal policies and Obama's EPA regulations have already basically destroyed coal. So for Alice in Wonderland Grimes to go out there and act like she's trying to save coal and that she's going to fight for coal, it doesn't matter because the damage is already done. And Alice in Wonderland Grimes is lying, acting like she can do something about it. And as far as the Democrats are concerned, the whole coal issue is not a noose around their neck. In other words, it's not important. So even Crit Llewellyn, you know, Kentucky's one of Kentucky's favorite Democrats, even says, hey, she's lying, but who cares? Barack Obama has already done what we wanted to do, so let's go ahead and lie about it. It's no big deal. That's one of the Democratic leaders, folks. This isn't a campaign staffer. This isn't a campaign aide. This is someone who is well-revered throughout the state, regardless of which party you're in, and had that to say. It gets worse. It gets worse. And I'll tell you how it gets worse, because the part two came out today. And rather than try to harvest, this is one of those target-rich environments, if you will. This Project Veritas, this part two was incredible. You need to watch this for yourself. I just put a link into the chat room for you. But these investigators went into yet some more, another Grimes fundraising event. This wasn't just a small event or a local event, no. This was an event that was attended by Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein, real estate tycoon Nico Elmale, and New York Knicks owner James Dolan. She was up in New York at a target-rich environment trying to get money so that she could screw the people. And according to those names, according to real estate tycoon Nico Elmale, He said that Allison is going to do what she has to do to get elected and then fuck the coal industry. Not my words, folks. One thing I love about online radio, you can quote these people directly without having to worry about that. Project Veritas undercover agent asked Nico if he thought Allison was going to help us get rid of coal. And Mala responded, absolutely. Project Veritas followed up and said, yeah, but she doesn't say that. And Nico says it's not about talking. It's about doing it. So when Project Veritas operative pushed the matter, Nico Elmala flat out said she can't say it straight up. She does not support coal, and she's going to fuck him as soon as she gets elected. Nico goes on to tell this undercover agent, take my word for it. She's going to fuck him as soon as she gets elected. She's going to do whatever she has to do to get elected, and then she's going to fuck them. She's a killer. We have sat here and talked about these things so many times. But in today's technological world, what used to be done behind closed doors isn't so easy to do behind closed doors anymore. What really is fascinating is when you look at people like that, of a Nico Elmalaya's, you know, background, you look at the background of these rich people that are at these places, like your Harvey Weinsteins or your New York Knicks owners like James Dolan, you look at these rich people that are there, and they're so candid with their opinions. That to make those kind of statements in that setting is a very candid statement. It's either arrogant or dumb. There can only be one of those two ways, in my opinion. I don't see any other way around that. So I find it very, very fascinating. You need to check out part two. It's in the chat room right now. If you can't get access to the chat room, no sweat. Write to me at myviewmatters@AOL.com, and I will send you whatever I can. I will send you whatever information you're looking for. Okay. Apparently somebody tried to send a private message to me in the chat room. It didn't get through. So if you can resend that, I'd appreciate it. I'll get a look at it in just a second. You know, moving forward, we have yet another poll out, this time concerning what the most, you know, what the top issues for Kentucky are supposed to be. According to a Bluegrass poll, 54% of all registered voters said that the economy should be the country's top issue. Is that anything different than we've been telling everyone? That this economy that Barack Obama says is on the right track, that has bounced back, and we're in this full recovery, and these folks like John Yarmuth are lying through his teeth trying to sell us that water. More than half the people here know that's a lie. But what's really interesting is, you know, most times they like to break these things down by age, by race, you know, all these different demographics that they put in these surveys. And the reality is this particular survey did the same thing, except it didn't work out the way that they expected it to. 68% of all African Americans said that the economy was the most important issue. The young folks, voters age 18 to 34, said that the economy was the biggest issue that needs to be looked at. 66% of that age range said that the economy has to be emphasized. How many 18-year-olds in the past have we ever thought that we're worried about the economy or thought about the economy? I mean, think about that seriously. You know, so it's very, very interesting. And then we get into the coal crowd. Eastern Kentucky, who has lost 7,000 jobs in the last 3 years, 7,000 coal jobs in the last 3 years, thanks to Barack Obama's EPA regulations and the stuff that he has done. Just ask Crit Llewellyn. She told us, right? They also say that the economy has to come first. So we look at all of these different things, and they paint a picture. But what's really interesting here when it comes to the economy and the things that are going on is that each of these things, well, for some reason, this private, for the person in the chat room who keeps sending me this private message, I apologize for getting off track, folks. It just flat out is not coming through right for some reason. It's coming through as blank. I guess we'll have to figure that out down the road. But anyway, getting back on topic, all of these things add up because we continue to give money away in these so-called tax incentives, just like the $325 million that got pulled by Greg Fisher to save GE. We did give four $300 million. If you were to combine those two totals, that's $625 million, more than half $1 billion in tax incentives. That's money that we don't get in taxes. How much would that pay for? The reality is that if we have $625 million to give away in incentives, then our taxes are too high in the first place. These companies would not need the incentives if they were allowed to compete, if they were allowed to come in here and compete like they can in other places. You don't have to give away tax incentives, folks. All you have to do is make sure that you have an equal playing field and a level playing field with the people you're competing against. So we look at all of that, and then imagine my surprise when a story came to light today that I wasn't expecting to see, hadn't looked at for quite a while in the Courier-Journal today. The tax incentives for the Noah's Ark theme park are now in jeopardy. Well, we actually gave tax incentives to build a Noah's Ark theme park in Northern Kentucky. We gave away millions of dollars to that project. We sit here and we scream, no God, no God. You can't talk about God anywhere publicly. You can't talk about God in your public schools. We have to take God out of the equation. All praise be to Allah, because that's what they want to do in this country. Right? But we actually gave tax incentives to Noah's Ark theme park in Northern Kentucky, and those tax incentives are essentially probably going to disappear. But they're not going to disappear because of the Ark and what their mission really is. They're going to disappear because of discrimination in hiring. There was a job posting for a position at Noah's Ark, and part of the application process required the applicants to provide salvation testimony, a creation belief statement, and an agreement with the statement of faith of Ark Encounters parent organization Answers in Genesis. So what they are doing is they're trying to act like they're shocked that there could be some religious discrimination in hiring. Who in their right mind did not see that one before it ever got to this point? Who in their right mind did not see that coming? But our government couldn't. I thought that was an interesting story that you really needed to see, or you needed to hear. I tell you, it's, you know, we say that we can't show any kind of favoritism to one religion over another, et cetera. Noah's Ark is only for the Christians. You know, it's the Bible. It's the Christian Bible. It's not the Muslims. You know, and we're shocked that there would be some sort of religious discrimination in the application process. The people who run this commonwealth, the city of Louisville, the state of Kentucky, indeed, apparently, the top leader in America today in the Democratic Party, really have no common sense at all. They really, really don't. I get more and more surprised every day. I should qualify that and say I should be more and more surprised every day, although I'm not. And here's something else that doesn't surprise me much. We have talked many times on this show about electoral and voter fraud. Well, lo and behold, last Tuesday, State Superior Court Judge signed a warrant for the arrest of State Representative Democrat Christina Ayala out of Bridgeport, Connecticut. Why? They wanted to criminally prosecute her for election fraud. A top state Democrat representative is now going to be prosecuted for election fraud. According to the information available, and you can get this out of Connecticut Post, folks, Christina Ayala, 31, was elected in 2012, but she lost her primary this summer in her bid for re-election. She is now being charged with voter fraud, tampering, and fabricating physical evidence. But what makes this so interesting, or I should say adds to it, is that her mother, Santa Ayala, has also been accused of helping her daughter to break the law, and yet she is still under investigation and still nominated by the Bridgeport Democratic leaders this summer to serve another term as a registrar and will be on the November ballot. So, you know, according to the investigation, Democrat State Senator Christina Ayala voted in nine different elections in areas that she did not live in, and when she was applying for public campaign finance grants in 2012. She also fabricated evidence for the investigation, and it gets worse. According to the State Election Enforcement Commission, they had recommended that Ayala and her mother, Santa Ayala, be prosecuted for election fraud almost a year ago. Almost a year ago. Instead, they delayed this against Christina Ayala. They have totally ignored the recommendation towards her mother to be prosecuted for helping her daughter do all of this. So no charges have been filed against her mother because they don't want to. Her mother is the Democratic Registrar of Voters, which is why her daughter was allowed to get away with this and get an extra year and a chance at winning her primary for re-election. If she wins her primary for re-election, this goes away. But since she didn't, now they're going to prosecute her. Her mom's going to get away with it because her mom is the one who handles all of that. So what do you do? You know, these are the same things we continue to talk about over and over and over again. yes, Paul, maybe it should be Santa Claus. I think the actual charges say, according to the Santa Clause, you know, for Miss Ayala. But, you know, sorry, folks, you get in this chat room sometimes to see some funny stuff. But we look at this. So here you have a state rep fraudulently voting at least 9 times. You have her mom helping her falsify documents or vote or whatever, applying for grants to run for public office in 9 different locations that she's not entitled to. All of this intentional. All of this intentional. It's just amazing. And this is for a woman, Democrat. This is for a Democrat, Christina Ayala. After she won the 2012 Democratic primary that gave her her current seat until the end of the year, immediately after she was arrested and fined $350 for a hit-and-run accident, she was involved in a domestic violence case for fighting with her boyfriend. I went to counseling and everything for that, in addition to all of these other things. So, you know, in the last 2 years, she's done a hell of a job destroying herself and defrauding the American taxpayer and voter. So these are some serious, serious things. Let's see here. There's a clause. Yeah, you're right, Paul. There probably is a clause in Santa's employment that allows violating election laws. You know, it has to be. So she's the one who makes those laws or puts those clauses in there. I'm sure she wrote herself in to be protected. I don't know, man. I really don't. I think it's incredible. But these are some of the examples that we had to put up with. So it's not just here in Louisville that this continues to go on. This is nothing more than a mafia. I mean, I'm serious. The Democratic mafia has become nothing more than a socialistic, power-driven, ego-driven, all-about-me screw job to the American people. Liberalism is destroying this country. This is what they do. You want to know why Eric Holder and Barack Obama want to fight voter ID laws? This is why. How are you going to vote in 9 different locations with the same ID? How are you going to do that? How are the dead people who vote in every election, how are their votes going to be counted if they don't have an ID? I mean, I guess someone could go to the grave, take a picture of the headstone, and walk into the daggone election center before it's over with and say, yeah, this is the picture of the grave of my dad or my mom. They died 12, 15 years ago. I'm going to go ahead and vote for them in this election, but there's their photo ID. Sounds stupid, but is that really what it's going to be? Is that what we want for our America, for the voting process? Is this acceptable? But this is why the Democrats fight voter ID laws. It makes it a hell of a lot harder to commit election and voter fraud if you have to prove who you are. If you have to prove who you are. Very, very interesting. It really, really is. I tell you, I want to touch on one other quick thing before we get out of here, folks. Because I tell you, I think this is pretty interesting as well. As we know, there was a big vote for secession a couple of weeks ago. There's this filter right over here. Scotland was looking to secede. And here in the United States, it became a big thing for us. We wanted to talk about it a lot. So Fox News, in their infinite wisdom, decided they were going to do a poll just to see if voters in America would support their state splitting off, you know, and seceding from the United States government. Overall, just 9% of the population said that they would. Only 9% of the people in this country said that they would opt to have their state secede from the Union, from the United States of America. But what was interesting, though, is that number doubled when you asked this next question. The next question asked was, what if you could boot other states out of the Union? If you're not in favor of your own state opting out of the United States of America by secession, what if you could boot other states out? And actually, then the number rose to 17%, almost double. And what was really interesting here, and I got to pat myself on the back for this, because for many, 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 many years, I've been telling the whole world, the best thing that could happen to America is for the earthquake to finally complete the split and put California out in the middle of the ocean. The best thing that could happen for America is to get rid of California. I've said that for so many years, I can't think straight. California is where most of this liberal crap started, and they have more control over what happens in this country than anybody is supposed to. So imagine my lack of shock when 17% of the people decided they would like to have the option to boot other states out of the Union. And the very first state at the top of the food chain that they would vote out, California. When asked which state they would first vote out, 53% picked California. And they were followed by New York at 25%, the two biggest liberal states going, folks. And then followed by Texas, the biggest conservative state going, at 20%, and Florida at 11%. You think about those numbers and look at everything and the way that it works. Is that really a surprise to anybody? You think about the states that continue getting all the media attention, that continue having what I consider to be a bigger voice in our United States government, an unfair voice in our United States government as compared to a lot of other states. And they are California, New York, Texas, and Florida. And those are the top four in that order, the voters who have given the option would boot them out of the United States of America. That ought to tell you a hell of a lot. That ought to tell you a hell of a lot. it's time to make some changes. I'm not talking about voting these people out of the union, but I'm talking about bringing America back to its center. We shouldn't have four states dominating the whole U.S. government and every decision made because they just happen to have a voting bloc that they're being catered to at the expense of those other votes like Montana, perhaps North Dakota, right here in Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama. Let's go down south. There is an inherent unfair advantage in that those four states are given as compared to everybody else. And I didn't find that out of character or anything else from this poll. I actually liked it. And for those who want to think that this is just a, you know, blah, 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 that it's all split and there's not that many people, well, 12% of those people were Republicans, 13% were independents, and of course, 4% of Democrats want their state to secede. But nearly one in four voters, interestingly enough, who are part of the Tea Party movement, would vote for their state to split off. Are we surprised by those differences? No, not at all. Not at all. So that was just a food for thought for you guys. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk a little bit about unemployment rates, what's really going on. We're going to talk probably a little bit about Dr. Michael McFarland. We are going to get Dr. Mac on air in the very near future. But for you guys that missed the KET debate, I tell you, it was a very, very interesting debate between John Yarmuth and Dr. Michael McFarland. You need to go to KET.org and check that debate out, because I think you will be very, very surprised by how easily rattled John Yarmuth was when he was faced with the facts to correct his lies. I found it one of the best debates I've seen in quite some time, and I'm really looking forward to the next debate they have scheduled on Saturday, which is a rare thing. But that's it for tonight. Don't forget tomorrow night, 7 o'clock right here, same time, same channel. And our good friend Ken Moman will be here Sunday night at 7 as well, for his Liberty Unbridled show. In the meantime, folks, have a great night. Thanks for stopping in. We'll catch you later. Take care.